Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are wrapping up our study of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We've worked our way through all nine of these manifestations of the Holy Spirit at work until we've come to the last one, which we have dealt with, but I still have a few more things I'd like to wrap up with that one today. But we read in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it is that self-control that we are talking about now, that self-control, that self-discipline that the Holy Spirit teaches to the children of God, a mastery over our desires, an ability to restrain those desires that need to be restrained, and to harness and direct in proper channels those desires that can properly be used for the glory of God. It is, I told you earlier, like the reins of a horse. The reins of a horse will hold a horse still in check, keep him from going when he ought to go, but they will also steer him to the right, to the left, straight ahead, wherever he needs to go when he is moving. So this is not entirely a restraining concept, but it is also a direction concept, self-control. To direct our desires in God-honoring channels, to regulate our desires in ways that please and honor the Lord. And sometimes that requires completely restraining certain desires. Sometimes that requires moderating other desires that are legitimate up to a point, but they become illegitimate when we go too far. And it's just a matter of learning how to hold our desires in a God-honoring fashion so that they do not ruin us, so they do not destroy the testimony of Christ, so they do not bring harm to others, but rather so that they are channeled and directed in God-pleasing ways. We started looking at a list of places in the Bible where this word is used, of various ones. We saw, for example, in 1 Corinthians 9:25 that it is used of athletes. They certainly need self-discipline. We saw in the broadcast yesterday that in Titus 1:8 it is used of elders or pastors of churches, bishops as they're called here. Verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but, and here's the positive side, hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. And there's that attribute. Taught us by the Spirit of God, developed within us by the Spirit of God, pastors, elders, are supposed to have that to a higher than average degree. On the broadcast yesterday, I related that to a pastor's schedule. A pastor must be a self-disciplined person in regard to his schedule. He's got to order his own time and efforts and priorities in a God-honoring way. Because if he doesn't, then several things can happen. And on the broadcast yesterday, I talked primarily about the slothful issue, the slothfulness issue that sometimes plagues some pastors, though, frankly, as I think I said yesterday, most of the pastors I know are very diligent and very busy. But nevertheless, there is a temptation to slack off if you don't have somebody who is holding you accountable for a very tightly woven schedule that has a lot of accountability built into it. Most jobs have that kind of accountability, but as we know, there are other jobs in the secular world that don't. I know some salesmen who basically are pretty much on their own as far as setting their schedule and when to go where and when to travel and so forth. And that can produce temptations and weaknesses. Many a traveling salesman has got himself in trouble in a number of areas. But the incentive is you're only getting paid if you produce. So if you want to get paid, you discipline yourself. If you want to increase your salary, you discipline yourself more carefully. It's not all totally a matter of discipline. There has to be a measure of skill and many other elements as well. But a lot of it is self-discipline. You've got to make yourself do what you need to do when you need to do it. That's one of the great values of school. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't like school. Why? Because it requires discipline, self-discipline. And the higher you go in school, the more you are expected to take care of this on your own. When you start out in grammar school, everything's pretty well regimented by your teacher, and you move on up into junior high, middle school, they often call it today, I guess, and you're beginning to get a little bit more flexibility. You get into high school, and depending on what kind of high school it is and where, you might get a little bit more. When you get into college, now you're getting on your own to a pretty pretty large degree. And many a young person has gone off to college at their parents' expense and wasted their time and wasted their parents' money and accomplished nothing. Why? Because they hadn't learned self-discipline. When they went from a school where somebody else made their schedule and somebody else supervised their time and somebody else rode shotgun with them most of the time, they did okay. And they got off where they were responsible to do these things on their own. They didn't have somebody that was leading them, nobody taking them by the hand, nobody making them go to class when they were supposed to be there. If they cut class, they could cut class, but of course there are consequences. Nobody making them study for their tests, but if they didn't study, of course there's consequences. Nobody making them get started on their papers and get them done in a reasonable fashion, timely fashion, but they wait to the last minute and try to pull an all-nighter and so forth, and I'm sure we have all done that to some degree. I must confess I'm guilty of that as well, procrastinating in college and pulling some all-nighters. But college is good for that aspect. It teaches us self-discipline, and if you get onto graduate school, you're really on your own, even more than in college. You make of it what you want to make of it. But there aren't too many freebies, there aren't too many favors in graduate school. There's a lot of that in the lower grades, maybe too much of it. Maybe that's part of the problem, that there's too much social emphasis and not enough academic emphasis, and people are many times promoted for social reasons rather than for academic reasons. They really can't do the work, but we don't want to hurt their self-esteem. By the time you get to graduate school, I think that's pretty much over. I don't see too many examples of that. You either do the work or you don't. If you do the work, you get the grades. If you don't, nobody's going to give them to you. Nobody's going to do you a favor. Nobody's going to bail you out. You either make it or break it. It's good for self-discipline because that's the way life is. A couple of times where this word is used of all believers. For example, in 2 Peter 1, 5, and 6, we have an example of this. 2 Peter 1, 5, but for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. There it is. Self-control. You've got to add to your faith knowledge. You study the Word of God. You've got to add to your knowledge self-control, self-discipline. That's required of all believers. This word is used quite frequently in the Bible of restraining sexual desires. That's the way it's used in, 1 Corinthians 7, 9. If they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Paul is dealing with marriage. He's saying there's nothing wrong with a single state. In fact, there's some real advantages to being single, but to live a single life, you have to be able to control your sexual desires. Now, to have a marriage that pleases and honors the Lord, you've also got to be able to control your sexual desires. You have to be able to control them within marriage. But marriage is a big help for that, particularly for Christians who are committed to honoring the Lord. We do have sexual desires. There is a God-honoring outlet for them. It's called marriage. Marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So marriage is used as a God-given aid for proper release of sexual desires and to help us control them in a God-honoring way. But if you don't have that avenue, you're going to have to exercise even greater self-control. And within marriage, you're going to have to exercise a certain measure of self-control. Every part of life requires some self-control. Any place you go, any direction you go, when it comes to food. Don't we have a overweight problem in America? Now, you can't see me. I'm on radio. You can't see me. I will say that I weigh more than I should, but thankfully am not significantly or obviously overweight. Most people would look at me and not think I'm overweight at all, perhaps. But I weigh more than I should, and I know that. I really ought to cut down, get off a few pounds. Most Americans recognize they need to get off a few pounds, and it's tough. It's a matter of self-control. But so many Americans are significantly overweight. That's what the statistics tell us. That's what observation tells us. Everywhere you look, you see overweight Americans, just significantly overweight. And yes, there are various circumstances. There are genetic factors. There are hormone factors and all that. But frankly, let's just be honest, an awful lot of it is a matter of self-control. We're just not very disciplined in our eating habits. We enjoy eating. There's nothing wrong with eating up to a point. That's one of those things where you can exercise the ability that God has created to a God-honoring way, to a God-honoring degree, and then if you go too far, too much, it becomes dishonoring to God. And on it goes. I mean, we could talk about self-control, I suppose, for a week or more. When it comes to entertainment, when it comes to hobbies, when it comes to so many things that are legitimate within themselves, nevertheless, if we don't learn to exercise self-control, they can be very destructive. And of course, they are spiritual disciplines that we need to incorporate into our life. We need to develop. They require self-control, self-discipline. If we don't learn these things, we aren't going to grow much in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.